welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 67 on October 30th, 2013. You might be able to hear it in my voice a little bit, but I've been getting over a cold. I got it on Monday, and I think I'm feeling well enough to crank one out tonight for you. Plus, there's just so much to say. I always have so much to say that I just can't wait any longer. First, the first news I have is that this came as a surprise yesterday. I was actually named one of the top 100 sex blogging superheroes of 2013 at a website called kinkly.com, just like it sounds. K-I-N-K-L-Y, kinkly.com. And I am number 12 on the list, no less. I mean, I've been very honored before to be on Rory's Between the Sheets, that's her blog, on her list before, 2 years in a row, and I'm hoping for a third. Those results haven't come out yet, but this is a new list. And I am honored and kind of floored to be in incredibly good company with some of my favorite people, like Ashley Manta, Charlie Glickman, Kendra Holliday, Ellie Chase, Violet Blue, Tristan Taramino, the Life on the Swing Set crew, and Ferns of Dom Chronicles. So thank you to Kinkly. Those are all people I so respect and admire. And there's many, many more I probably respect and admire that I just haven't had the time to go check out their blogs. And I would also especially like to say big, big thanks to my friends who nominated me. Ellie Chase of Lady Cheeky and Smut for Smarties fame, Hercules the Pleasure Coach, and Tiffany Yelverton of Entice Me Home Parties. And I'll have all the links for those three people in my Linkorama, but those three people especially, you guys rock. Thank you so much. So after that news, I'm going to start off the show with my very first recorded question.
Hi, Ruby. I'm a long-time follower of the blog, I'm a big fan. I have two questions. One of my questions is, what is the actual prevalence of pegging in society? Like, what percentage of people have actually tried pegging? And then my other question is, what's the best way to integrate pegging into the relationship so it's not about the dom-sub aspect, it's more about just two people doing something that they both like? I'd love to talk to you more about this. You're really like a personal hero of mine, so just give me a call. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Thank you for following my blog. And the personal hero thing, I mean, wow. That got me teary-eyed. Really, it did. I mean, I do what I do here because it's my passion. And I'm thrilled if it helps in any way. So thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, as far as your first question, there is really no way for me or anyone to know what percentage of the general public has actually tried pegging. I mean, the only numbers that I can dig up for you are from my Facebook page. And in Facebook, you know, you have to be on Facebook, first of all. You have to have dug around and found my page, which would probably involve putting in pegging for the search term. And what I find when I look at my page, because it does give me some statistics, of course, it says your fan. So I have 642, as of today, people who have hit the thumbs up button on my Facebook page, which is called Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise. And this is what I know. I know that of those people, 79% of them are men, 20% of them are women. And to compare with that, 54% of all Facebook are men and 46% are women. But from then on, the only disproportionate areas are that the men who were 25 to 34 and 35 to 44, a disproportionate percentage of them in terms of comparing of the whole of my fans, 28% of men 25 to 34, that's my fans. And then 25% are 35 to 44. So those are much, much bigger than the Facebook norms, because the Facebook of all Facebook, men 25 to 34 are only 14.8%, and 35 to 44 are only 7%. So it's kind of interesting to see those numbers, but you know, you see what I mean? There's so many different complicating factors here. We have no idea if people follow this page because they fantasize about it. And whether that means that they have done it or they haven't, see my point? So it's really, really difficult to know numbers. The only recent study that I know of, and I quote this one a fair amount, this is the one I quote about how only 35 to 37% of gay men even have anal sex. And the reason it's two different numbers is because they did differentiate between receiver and giver in that survey, and that was the one from George Mason University, but no mention was ever made in the entire study, as far as I was able to discern, about heterosexual strap-on sex. There was no mention of the woman being the giver. So who knows? I mean, in my dreams, I would like to think that it's somewhere between 5 to 10% of people, but I think I'm probably in dreamland. I don't know. Here's how I think about it. I think, okay, if there were 100 people standing here, how many do you think would raise their hand if you said, okay, out of these 100 people, raise your hand if you've tried strap-on sex? I'm thinking maybe five or, you know, on a good day, 10. It'd be nice. So I'm thinking 5%. That would be my best guess. And I guess how I'm judging that would be to think of 100 people that I know and to wonder if they have tried it. You know, maybe it's 2%, maybe it's 3%. I don't have a clue. But it's a good question. But, you know, also because of the social taboo, this is not a question we'll have an answer to anytime soon, unless another study is done that actually asks this question. First of all, that's obvious, and is anonymous, so people can feel like they can answer truthfully. Still, getting a true cross-section of the population to answer this question, it would have to be somewhere prominent, like a phone survey or randomly chosen numbers, and I would not want to be the person asking the questions on that phone call. You know, can you imagine? Interrupt someone from dinner and say, "Excuse me, but is there anyone in the household who engages in heterosexual strap-on sex?" I don't think so. So it's going to be a long time before we have those numbers, but that's my best guess. 2 to 5%, I think, is reality. 5 to 10% is my dreams. That's what I'm working towards. Okay. So now, on to your second question. You know, this is just kind of a further talking about it thing. I wrote that article convincing her to try it. And that's full of a ton of good information about how to talk to your partner about pegging for the first time. So inherent in that is really talking with your partner about how you want to do it. You need to get specific. You know, anytime you walk into new sexual territory, and especially one like pegging that can be done in a lot of different ways, it's really good to be specific about it. So I think it should be just strictly conversational. You know, if you're going to be talking about pegging to begin with, and you know what I say, if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it, then what you really need to do is you need to get specific and let her know, okay, what I'm interested in with this whole pegging thing is exploring the pleasure possibilities of it. There's a lot of pegging porn out there that I don't want to have this be anything like. I'm not interested in being dominated. I'm not interested in dressing up in women's clothing. I'm not interested in being spanked. I'm not interested in you torturing my cock and balls. You know, I could go on and on here. But that way you're specific, and that way you let her know, you know, this is just like one more way for us to make love. That's kind of how I want to do it. And I don't really want to feel like I'm submissive to you or that I'm giving away my power or anything like that. So those are some words, some sample words to use. You know, use the ones that feel comfortable to you. But it's important when you talk about it to broach this subject because, like I say, any exposure she may have had about this to begin with may definitely leave her with a different idea than what you are picturing. So show her your picture, you know, offer that up and make sure that your pictures are the same before you jump into this together, basically. And thank you for being my very first recorded message. Thank you very much. I know you said on your phone call that you would love to talk about this some more. If I have time, I will give you a call. Right now, I'm saving my voice for other things, but I really, really appreciate your call, sir. Okay, let's see. Moving right along here. I posted my written piece about what I love about pegging. I posted it up on FetLife, and I got this comment, and I wanted to read it to you because it just really said a lot. Here's what this woman said. "I love what you wrote. I wish I had seen it before my old man approached me. I was nervous, being he's the only man I've been with, so I had no experience to fall back on. I entered the relationship, saying that the back door was exit only, but one day he went down on me, wasn't comfortable with that either at first, and did something different. I was so worked up, I didn't know what it was, but it felt great, so I asked him after, and he said he just licked my anus. From there, it wasn't hard to get me to try anal. It felt great when he tossed my salad. And then he approached me about pegging. I'll admit I had problems taking him seriously at first and resisted. Then one day he wore a plug and I saw how intense his orgasm was. It made me think of the female G-spot, which he so eagerly sought. How could I tell him no when he's always told me yes? So I tried playing with him one day. We always play post-shower, sexy showers help lower my inhibitions, and I loved every minute of it. I don't use gloves, but I keep my nails fastidiously trimmed. We have toys and are saving up for our first strap-on. I also dislike the idea of having a penis. Call me a feminist, but I love my body. So we are opting for a toy that isn't flesh-colored or veiny. I guess I wanted to share my experience because it shows that every girl might be willing to try new things if you are patient and kind and discuss things openly with her. And, more importantly, it doesn't make you gay to get your prostate handled. Or did we learn nothing from Stifler in American Pie? You know, I didn't look up that reference, and it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but I'm taking your word for it here. I am so happy to be able to read this to you guys because, and I am going to let the woman who wrote this know that I read it on the podcast, so I'll address this to her. I'm really, really glad that you found your way through all of that and you found so much enjoyment of it. The best part of this message here, the best part as far, you know, in my opinion, was how could I tell him no when he's always told me yes? I love that. I mean, that's the game part, the good giving and game thing that Dan Savage talks about. That's game. And that's awesome that you are willing to try it. And I also really, really appreciated hearing from a woman and a first person experience that when he put the butt plug in and then you guys were having sex, his orgasm was so intense. Because that's what I tell guys sometimes when their women are somewhat reluctant, is, okay, you've talked about it once, they're not necessarily down with the idea, they're not, you know, embracing the whole thing, and this is where the patience comes in. So get a butt plug, ask her if you can wear it while you make love. Put it in, let her see what your orgasm is like. That's exactly what happened with this woman. This is so cool. So I wanted to read that to you all to show you, yes, there are some really good things in here. And yes, exactly what she says. Every girl might be willing to try new things if you are patient and kind and discuss things openly with her. Thank you for that comment. Okay, so for the question that I put out there last podcast about the vertical clitoral hood piercing and how that might interact with a double-ended dildo. You know, I didn't hear back from anybody here, written or phone, but what I did do is I posted it on Reddit in the pegging group to see if I could crowdsource it, and sure enough, at least one woman, that was all there was, but one woman did respond and said that she had a VCH, and she didn't find that it was all at all uncomfortable. She uses the Fun Factory Share. She said that it didn't cause any pinching or pain. In fact, in her opinion, it seemed to enhance the whole experience and give her more pleasure. But she was careful to say, you know, not everybody was going to be the same necessarily. And when she mentioned that she uses the Fun Factory Share, she said the only issues that they have had is the share slips out once in a while. And I wrote her and said, are you using a harness? Because you know me and my deal about the double-ended dildos and the harnesses. And she said, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So that explained that question. It obviously slips out when they don't. Anyway, that's the answer to the VCH, as good as I was able to get anyway. Crowdsourcing the 2-5% of the general public that has found the Reddit pegging group. I think the Reddit pegging group at this point in time has like about 14,000 people in it, something like that. But you ought to check it out. You ought to especially check it out if you like photos and videos of pegging, because a lot of people post those on there. There are other people asking for advice and sharing first experience stories and things like that too, but it's a cool place. You should check it out. Okay, moving right along. Let's see here. I got a question. This is actually a private message on FetLife. And this man says this: I do have some questions. Like, when the pegging is making my ass sore, is there something I can do, like ignore it, embrace it, something, so as not to stop the pegging? There have been times my ass has just gotten worn out, and I had to ask for a minute or two rest. But I don't want to delay my femdom of her pleasures. Maybe I need to learn how to process pain? Okay, so the letter from this man was clearly from a man who has a submissive relationship with his dominant woman. And basically what he was wanting is to not have to stop the pegging because she didn't want to stop it. I have some really strong opinions about this. I've sat on this question for a couple of weeks before I answered it. And it shouldn't hurt. Period, people. It should not hurt. I know there's people out there who kind of like to ride that line because they are masochists and they enjoy that little edge of pain and they can tell between bad pain and good pain. But I think that's a very fine line to walk, and I think it's a little bit of a dangerous one to walk. The last thing you want is an anal fissure or something like that. So my rule is, answering that question, in my humble opinion, you need to stop. You need to take the breaks. You need to not continue. If it's worn out, it's starting to get sore and it hurts, that would be the time to stop. And I have been in, I consider myself pretty dominant, and I have been in that situation where I really wanted to keep going. And the man I was with said, I think I need to stop. You always respect that. And if you don't, then you have a dominant that does not respect their submissive. This is what my opinion is. But then again, obviously, I have some pretty strong opinions about dominance and submission, too. I think there has to be equal respect. I don't think that you damage bodies just because you want to keep doing something. So there you have it. That's my opinion about that. So now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what Catalyst Con was like. And it's been so long since I've gone. I know it's like a month practically. It's more than a month. And what I want to tell you about that is that, okay, you all know how I was the moderator of the ASS panel, and I was with C.T. Schenck, who's CTO of Veneros, Charlie Glickman, who wrote the book Ultimate Guide to Male Prostate Pleasure, and Tom Stewart, who owns Sport Cheats International. So these three lovely men were with me on this panel, and what I did was I contacted them each. Actually, Charlie volunteered and said, you can ask me any question you want about prostate pleasure or pegging, either one, and I will happily answer it. But you might want to check with the other guys, because not all guys want to talk about it, and I really appreciate that, Charlie. And so I did approach CT and Tom independently. I emailed them, actually, and they didn't answer me back. So I got face-to-face with them down there at the convention, because my panel was not until Sunday morning. And I sat with CT and I sat with Tom at two different times and asked them that question, and they both said yes, that I could ask them personal questions. So I kind of carefully tailored my questions for each man, but I was able to ask really personal questions, because one of the things that I've noticed is that personal messages are really, really powerful. So Tom had all of these amazing statistics from his business about how amongst all of the strap-on kits that he sells, and he sells a few amongst all of the amazing things that he sells, that the beginner kits were going through the roof, that the statistics of the sales were really quite impressive. He had these charts, and he showed us all and told us all about it in terms of how much it's increased in what time period and all that. But when I asked him the question, it was actually really cool, because what he did was he went back to when he was in the service, because he was a Marine. And he talked about getting those yearly prostate checks. He talked about a bunch of different stuff. And he made it a very, very funny story. But he made it a great story, because I believe how I phrased the question to Tom was, when was the first time you first discovered that you could get pleasure out of your ass? And that it was so nice to add some humor to it, and to have him answer those personal questions. And when I asked CT, CT actually ended up talking a little bit. This is the question I asked him, was when he first took over Aneros, he actually came from the company Fleshlight, and he didn't have any experience with the Aneros products. So he was CEO there for a while, and then all of a sudden somebody came to him and said, you know, you really need to experience this if you're going to run this company. So he went ahead and used it and had some amazing experiences. So he was able to share that. And then I asked Charlie specifically about the pegging because I knew that that was a favorite of his and that was something he really enjoyed. So we also covered some territory about the emotional side of pegging, which I think made a big difference. I don't think a lot of people really knew that that was a possibility, the whole emotional vulnerability aspect that I keep talking about a lot. And I covered that in my classes and my last few classes, and I got a really very specific good response about the emotional quotient. So I took that to CatalystCon, and the same thing happened. The panel went swimmingly. In fact, I just got an email from Dee Dennis, who is the creator of CatalystCon, and she actually told me that the Ask panel was the most best received panel of the conference, as well as the best attended. So I'm really proud, everybody. I mean, can you hear me smiling while I'm talking? This is the first panel I've ever been on, much less moderated. And when I told people who came up and talked to me afterwards, they couldn't believe it. They really couldn't believe it. And I kind of couldn't believe it either. It just worked. It just did. And so Dee Dennis is wanting us to duplicate that Ask panel in DC, because this conference, the CatalystCon, switches coasts every 6 months. And it will be in DC in March of next year. So I just got the email from Dee about, and she cut and pasted a bunch of the feedback responses that they got when they did the survey, the closing survey. And those were really, really wonderful to hear. And a lot of people echoed what I just said about how it was great to hear from the personal stories. And it was also really good to hear from all of us who were in very different areas in the business, you know, in the whole sexuality field. We came from different places to talk about this, which was awesome, because that way our information all really, it was, what's the word for it? It was synergistic. It ended up creating something that was more than just our individual information could ever have. So yay to Dee Dennis and the Evil Slut Click, who decided that we really needed to all be on a panel together instead of giving us a chance to do individual presentations, which is what we wanted to do. So yeah, that was pretty damn amazing. I am still kind of floating on that one. And speaking of that, one of the things that I am going to do, well, you know, how can I pass up going to DC? How can I pass up moderating that panel again? I can't. Now, the bigger question is, how can I afford it? Ah, that's a bigger question, isn't it? So I think what I'm going to do is I am going to set up like a Kickstarter, probably, or some sort of crowdsourcing situation where anybody who is interested in helping me fund this trip to DC can donate. I'm going to put a button on my website probably, because I can use all the help I can get, and it'll make that trip a whole lot easier to pull off if I have some help financially. I'm one of those sex educators that still at this point is not, it's not my day job. It's really not. So it's something that I have to do in my spare time, and there's not a whole lot of spare time these days with everything that I've got my fingers into. But as you all know, one of my erotic stories was chosen for Women's Best Erotica of 2014, and that book is going to be out in November. So that's when I think things are going to turn around a little bit. What I'm doing right now is I am getting over my cold, and I am working to get each of my erotic stories up for individual purchase and also bundle purchase up on Amazon Kindle download. I've got one story up so far, but the others are going up pretty quick here. And what's happening is that way people read the book and then they look up my name and they find those for Kindle download. So that's the plan. And just so you know, you don't have to have a Kindle. This was a surprise to me. I had no idea about this. I consider myself fairly tech savvy. And at the same time, I had no idea that no matter what you have, whether it's a computer or a phone or any kind of phone, there are apps that you can download that will allow you to download a Kindle download of text and read it. So you do not need a Kindle to do this. So just wanted everybody out there to know that. It would still be a much, much better deal if you bought my $50 membership for the erotic stories. But this way, what you can do is you can look at the teasers and pick and choose which ones you want, because they're not going to be very expensive. And I guess that's it about that part. So yeah, I'm looking to crowdsource fund my trip to DC, and I'll get that started pretty quick in terms of donations and stuff. And I'll be talking about it probably every podcast or every other, and you'll hear about it over and over again. So the other thing that happened at Catalyst Conscience, it wasn't all about me. There were so many amazing things happening that weekend. And to be honest, I didn't do that many classes and sessions because I was so fixated on making sure that I was a good moderator and I was well prepared. So unless it was something that I really, really, really wanted to go to, I didn't attend a lot of them, and I'm quite sure I missed an amazing amount of stuff, and hopefully when I go to DC, I'll be able to relax about that so that I can go to more things and enjoy them. The very first thing I did upon arriving on Friday was to attend Tristan Taramino's boot camp for sex educators, the advanced. She has beginning and advanced. And wow, does that woman have some good information. I was correct that I didn't need to go to her beginner class because I got something established. I got my thing going here. But yes, I got an amazing amount of good information from her in that class, and very much appreciate that. That was an excellent investment for any of you people out there who are thinking about becoming a sex educator. Her boot camp is basically how she described it, is she said that she needed to figure all this out herself, because when she first started doing this a long time ago, there was nobody out there teaching about how to do it. So she had to figure out what worked and what didn't. And of course, that was back when social media was just becoming a big deal. And she's got it wired now, and she has done all the shortcuts, and she knows how to do it and gives you all that information when you take the class. So it's really wonderful. Another thing I didn't attend, which I really enjoyed, was I told you all that I was going to be going to a class called Beyond Phthalates, and it was about toxic sex toys. This was led by Metis Black, who is the owner of Tantus, and she was presenting and kind of crowdsourcing all about, you know, there's other things out there to worry about than phthalates. There's the glass toys that sometimes have lead and mercury in them that come from China, and there's a bunch of different chemicals that we really need to keep an eye on. Now, we ended up all kind of giving our input as to what we'd experienced and listening to people that interact with us, like through emails and things, and people that talk about their experiences with certain toys. But I do recall, and this was a year ago, but I do recall talking about California Prop 65. Now, this was something that they brought up last year at the toxic toy session. And I could swear that I said in that podcast, people of you who have listened to all my podcasts recently and kind of ran through them like you do when you first find somebody new, you'll probably remember this better than I do, but I could swear I said, you know, Prop 65 is the perfect vehicle for us to start holding manufacturers accountable. And all we need is a couple of lawyers who are willing to do it. That's all we need, right? So Metis kind of hinted at that during the class. I participated a lot in the class. I told the story about the man who wrote me the email, who talked about how after he read my article on toxic toys, that he realized that he had this whole stash of toys that he needed to throw away because this was why he kept reacting to them. And he said he tried everything. He bleached them, he boiled them, he baked them, he tried everything. And because he said, "I tried everything," I said, "Did you try condoms?" And that was when I got that anecdotal information from this man that, yes, he tried condoms on the toxic toys with phthalates, and all it did was delay the amount of time between when he put it in and when it started to burn, thereby leading me to make an assumption that even if you are not as sensitive as this man is in terms of reacting to the chemicals when they're put inside your body, that does not mean the chemicals are not getting inside your body. So I shared that. And after the class, these two gentlemen came up to me and introduced themselves and gave me their cards. And it was like somebody just put a magic wand there and said, "Yeah, so last year when you said, wouldn't it be cool if a couple of lawyers stepped up to the plate and did this? These guys are doing it. They're doing it." And I can't tell you how excited I am. I was practically jumping up and down when they introduced themselves and announced what they were doing. As far as I know, they have had one toy analyzed in a laboratory, and they have sent a letter to the manufacturer. I don't know what toy it is. I don't know what manufacturer it is. And probably that's something that's going to be on the down low for a little while, because sometimes legal things get a little sticky. But they are looking for people who have had bad experiences with toxic toys to help them out. So who are willing to sign things, basically saying that they've had this bad experience. And I don't really know what that entails. These gentlemen and I are going to meet next month, because one of the things that I asked them was, who's funding you? And they actually said they were funding themselves. So I put the vote that we really, really need to crowdsource the funding for these guys. The whole sexual community needs to be very, very interested in this, because it's so important. Because if we can't depend on having safe toys, then how can we really relax and enjoy those toys? I mean, if every time that you want to buy a new toy, you have to think about, but, you know, what if it's this and what if it's that? I would love to see there be some repercussions for companies that manufacture the crap stuff. I would love to see the good old boys get taken down, the people that are making all of that profit and knowingly poisoning people. I mean, that's a harsh word to use, but it's true. We don't want to poison our babies. That's why we banned the use of phthalates, those specific ones that are found in huge concentrations in toxic toys. We banned them in children's toys. Different kinds of toys, I get it, but, you know, you get my meaning. So, wow. So that happened, and I was elated. It was like a dream come true. It was like, all of a sudden, what I said, like, wouldn't it be cool? And then it happened. So, yeah, that was a happy time for me. And on Saturday night, I decided to take a break from my obsessive preparing for the moderation of the panel. And I went to the body storytelling special presentation there. And it was phenomenal. It was amazing. Tristan Taramino told a story. Ashley Manta told a story that, oh my gosh, there were so many people that told, and they were all so good. That was really quite a needed good time. And then another fun time was, let's see, when was it? Was it Friday night? I'm trying to remember. I think it was Friday night that I ended up in the hot tub. Yes, I ended up in the hot tub for a while on Friday night. That was a big hot tub at that hotel. And there must have been 25, 30 people in there. Maybe not that many, 25, all talking about sex. I mean, I'm almost positive they were all from our group. And that was delightful. It was really, really fun. And I think that you all saw my blog post about being given a gift, a couple of gifts from Tantus. The biggest one, the most amazing one, was you have perhaps seen that Tantus is making a line of designer strap-on harnesses that have been in the works for, I believe Meta said, about 4 years, because they wanted to get it just right. And this is like a very supple leather harness. Interestingly enough, it has sort of like the G-string construction, but that one piece that goes down between the cheeks is actually just the right size so that it fits well, but it doesn't, it's not uncomfortable, it fits just right. Because I'm not usually a fan of that construction, but this one fits perfectly, and it has Velcro attachments. Unfortunately, I have yet to try it on anyone, and I'll let you know. You'll all be the first to know when Ruby Rider actually has a good time and gets to try that harness out. But until then, I'm very much looking forward to it. And this particular style is called the Amazon, which I thought was really quite perfectly... Oh man, I'm searching for words tonight because I'm sick. Appropriate. Yes, that's the word. It was very, very appropriate to be giving me, the 5'11 woman, something called the Amazon. And when I was moderating the ass panel, yeah, I was wearing heels that made me like 6'3". It was awesome. Anyway, it was very, very sweet. Jenna of Tantus took me into the vendor hall and gave me that as a gift, and I am very, very appreciative. It's a beautiful piece of workmanship, so I can't wait to use it, and I can't wait to dress up in it, too. I've actually found someone who's going to do some photography of me, and you can be assured that that will be one of the things that I take to that photo shoot. So thank you, Tantus. I will be writing that review about that harness as soon as I can. I'm hoping sooner than later. And let's see, what else happened at CatalystCon? Oh, I know. Finally, one of my listeners came and got a hug. Yay! Most of the time that I was there, I ate across the street at P.F. Chang's. And I was there having lunch. And a young man came up and checked with my friends who were with me. Because I guess he had seen them and they knew me and said, yes, we can show you who Ruby is. And so he came up and introduced himself, and I immediately recognized his name from Facebook. His first name is Hudson. And I said, well, it's so nice to meet you. And I immediately got up and gave him a hug. That was the only hug that anybody asked to get. You know, he didn't even ask. I just offered it because that was my thing. Find me where I'm talking. Tell me you're a fan and you get a hug. So that was really nice to meet you, Hudson. It was great. And I look forward to seeing you next year at the next CatalystCon. Hopefully you can make it again. And it's nice to meet you in person. So that's kind of the short end of how CatalystCon went for me. I did go to some other sessions, but it all kind of is a blur at this point. Maybe it's the cold. But if I think of any other highlights, I'll put them in my next podcast. So... okay, moving along. I know you're all waiting for that second installment of the interview with the young man who went back to the sex worker. Since I've been down and out, I have not worked on that as much as I'd like, so that is still in the works. Trust me, it's coming, and hopefully it's coming very soon. He did call me and told me that he was, well, we emailed, and he said he was going back to her on Monday, just this past Monday, so I'm curious as to how that went. I might give him a call and check in. It's just so, there's just so much information there that this man is willing to provide. And it's really, it's, I think what it is, I'm hoping at least this is what it is that it's something that is comforting to some of the men who are considering trying this. Because I think there's a whole lot of discrimination and assumptions and misconceptions about sex workers. Since certainly they're there for a reason, but I think by and large they don't apply to the majority of them. And this man's experience is a perfect example of that. So there you go. Okay, here's the last and biggest news I have for you. I've decided to do something different here at the Pegging Paradise podcast. I'm not going to eliminate anything that I'm doing right now, but what I am going to do is give you something more. Ooh, isn't that a nice feeling when somebody goes, okay, this thing that you love and you've loved for so long, yeah, I'm going to change it, but I'm still going to give you everything you love. I'm just going to give you more of it. So here's what I'm going to do, and I'll tell you exactly how this happened that I made this decision. You're familiar with me talking about Zach, my illicit email affair, and he and I have exchanged, well, I didn't leave any messages for him, but he actually got onto my Skype line and left me a couple of messages, which thrilled me because I never heard the man's voice before. But what he did was he left me a recording of him having an orgasm, of him coming. And it was the fucking hardest thing I've ever heard in my life. Holy crap. And I'm sure a lot of it is because there's this intense erotic connection between us that will never be manifest, that will never, you know, come to fruition. And this is the man having an orgasm and letting me hear those sounds on the phone. So here's what I did. I took it and I copied it and made it an MP3, which of course I can do because that's how I play your messages when you call in here. And I put it on my phone. I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but I actually played it while I was driving. The other thing I did was I put it on my phone and put the headphones in. And put those in while I was masturbating one night, and I put it on repeat. That was pretty damn hot, too. So, needless to say, I got pretty excited about this, and my reaction was all positive and really, I don't know, really erotic and sensual and hot and lusty and wow. So I thought about this, and I thought, and actually, let me give credit here. This was Zach's idea. He said, you know, you should do that. You should play it at the end of the podcast. You should play an orgasm recording at the end of every podcast. And that's exactly what I am going to do for you now, is play that recording of him having an orgasm. And before I play that, let me invite each and every one of you who is interested in doing this to call and leave me a recording of you having an orgasm. And I will play every one of those that I get that is not ridiculously inappropriate. And I'm not sure how I'm going to draw that line. I'm just going to have to cross that bridge when I come to it. I will play them at the end of every podcast, because that way you have something even totally yummy, even more yummy to look forward to at the end of every podcast. So there you go. So yeah, call in, leave your recording. You can actually make it fairly long if you'd like. To give you an example, Zach's was 2 minutes and 25 seconds, I think. So, you know, 2 minutes, 2.5. I figure that is time well spent at the end of my podcast. And I am so going to enjoy listening to these. I mean, you guys are going to be spicing up my life, the life of all my listeners. In fact, a good friend of mine up in Toronto, you know who you are, I posted something on Facebook about how Zach actually called me and wanted me to listen to his latest orgasm. And I was on my way to the last class I was teaching, which was the beginning, pleasure, anal pleasure for beginners. And literally, I had a 15-minute drive to get to my class, and I was ready to get on the phone and listen. But Skype did not cooperate, and so I posted something along those lines on Facebook with the hashtag frustration, and one of my friends in Toronto said he would be happy to send one to me, and that he could probably top Zach, so I'm going to solicit him for a recording. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I would love to hear you come on my answering machine. Men, women, all of you people listening out there, I extend an invitation. Send it on in. You don't have to identify yourself. You don't have to do anything other than just start breathing and moaning and then have your orgasm. And I can't wait to hear what ends up on my answering machine. Okay, so that number to call in on, where you leave your questions and your orgasms and your stories, is 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Ryber, Ryder. Oh, the mouth is failing. I have a Facebook page. Please head on over there and give me a thumbs up. You can subscribe to my blog, which has lovely erotic pictures and things that never show up in my podcast. And my podcast itself is available on iTunes and also can be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you download from iTunes, if you get a chance, rate my podcast and leave me a cool review. I would very much appreciate that. And you can also write me, send me anything at ruby@peggingparadise.com. Or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every page of my blog. As always, thank you for downloading and listening. Really appreciate all of you people that keep downloading and listening and commenting and are there to listen to this fun thing that I get to do. And happy pegging, everybody.
Hmm.